for someone that gets invited to go play mid swing change, or they're playing really poorly and it might feel like I'm not quite ready, I think the key is. And welcome back. Welcome aboard another Part Train. I'm one of your hosts, Evan Singer. We got Matt Cermak with me.
What's up, Ev? How we doing? I'm fired up. You're fired up. This could be the most important episode of the year. I just said it.
Wow. Yeah. Cerm's fired up. I'm pretty pumped. We're going to get to what this episode is all about in a second. But in case you guys are new, welcome aboard. We help frustrated golfers enjoy the ride again, because if you can learn to smile through bad golf, you can smile through anything. Before we get to this episode, we got to thank our friends at Roback Activewear. Couple news items, actually.
Yes.
For Roback. First things first, they just dropped head covers.
Head covers. So we got to
partnered up with Seamus Golf.
Seamus Golf. It looks like kind of a driver three wood head cover and a putter cover. And these look great. Obviously, Seamus does incredible work.
Yep.
I think we need to get some. Guys, I think we need to get some.
I think they're pretty
season's
nice.
Season's here. You know, make a statement. And they're green.
Yeah. You know, Partrain's green. So we like that. And so go to roback.com, enter the code train, check out those head covers. The other thing is, I feel like every week they're coming out with new theme and what they call destination polos.
Yep.
So we all love where we're from, right? Although I don't think they've done a St. Louis one, which is questionable. I might need to call them out on that.
Not the biggest, you know.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
Chicago.
But Windy City. Maybe as a Chicago guy.
I think the most Roback could be in Chicago. The new Windy City QZIP is, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
I send Cerm a Windy City. Every time they drop a new Windy City, I send it to Cerm. And you almost get at each one.
I mean,
like,
I got to get it. I wore the 312 polo to death. I think I need to get another one. But the Windy City's got a nice little touch of color and design and, you know, adding that Chicago detail. So I think it's the number one market. No surprise. But
yeah, and the Masters just happened, so it's springtime officially.
Yeah,
and it's time to re-up some polos, and you know I love their hoodies, and not to mention their new T-shirts, their Tradewind tees, and the light hoodies are great for this time of year too. So roback.com, enter the code train, get 15% off. If it doesn't work, use it for an email. Do whatever you have to do. They haven't yelled at us for saying that yet. So
keep getting the deals, guys.
I'm going to keep saying it until I get slapped on the wrist, because guess what? I care about our passengers.
Yes. That's well said.
And they deserve the discount. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now this episode, we were getting fired up off air. That's probably the longest we've talked off air before we started clicking record.
Well, and you were unsure where we were going this episode.
Yeah, and now I'm fired up.
This
now
is
that
where
I know.
We're going, and you're like, oh my God, yes.
So Cermak made a good point. He said, it's the season. We are entering golf season. You can work on your swing forever, but at a certain point, you got to go play. And it's funny, I texted Cerm. I just got invited to my father-in-law's member guest. I've never played in a member guest with anyone other than our buddy Ryan. This is the first time that my father-in-law and I are going to be competing
in something. It's a nice call to take. Yeah.
But I think it's a normal thing. If you're a golfer that's working through some serious swing changes and you're seeing some pretty significant misses, you don't absolutely always love getting that call, or you think to yourself, I got to get this figured out and quick. So we're going to talk today about, regardless of what you're working on, regardless of what you're going through, you had to just do this past week. I just had to do this on camera this past week. I think we got some really great insights. I think we got some really good takeaways. And let's help the passengers go play regardless of what they're working on.
We got to go shoot a score, right?
Let's do it.
I mean, that's what's most important at the end of the day. If we like to play this game and we want to get better, we have to shoot scores. You know,
we got to feel comfortable to get out and play. Right. You can't. I've done it hundreds of times where you get caught up in positional stuff and you don't know which one to focus on. And you see a miss you're not used to. And it's just panic town. You just can't play golf that way.
But sometimes you need sometimes we need reasons to play. We need what's a reason? You're going to go play a member guest. Hey.
Yeah. Bandon coming up.
You're going to go play Bandon. I'll go play with my brothers and our buddies. And a high stakes money game. first round of the year, you know, in cold weather.
In the cold.
But you need, and this is going to be an important theme of this episode, you need reasons to go play, because we can go out on that golf course as many times as we want and work on our positions, playing by ourselves or playing with whoever, with don't keep score. Okay. Not saying there's not a time and a place for that, but it's kind of a once in a while thing.
Yeah.
We, right, like, what are we doing? We're playing to shoot good scores. We're playing to win. We're playing, you know, for ourselves. We're playing on a team. We're playing on a member guest. We're playing at Band of Dunes. And so we got to figure out the best way to do that. And what we know of, especially from talking these last couple of months, especially with you taking lessons and making a ton of great progress, even sometimes it doesn't feel like it, you are, you have to have a clear head to go out and play good golf. And we're all working on stuff. We should be working on stuff. We should have a coach. We should be working on mechanics. I've been working on a lot of mechanics this winter in my apartment, slow motion swings in the mirror. But I didn't go, I went out and played last week and I'm like, well, what good is it going to do? What good is it going to do me?
Do I have what it takes?
Am I ready? Everything I've worked on, but I'm like, oh, what good is it going to do me if I'm thinking about if I'm, you know, getting my weight on my left heel and I'm still staying back and all? No. Simplify. Fundamentals. You've been working hard on this. Grip, stance, alignment, getting, making a good turn.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to dig into here, Evan. And I'll kick it over to you, but like, you can't go into this member guest giving a shit about what your takeaway looks. You know, though, working on your fundamentals, right? Your grip, your weight, your stance or alignment, that actually is going to create a better takeaway. And it is. Is it perfect? No. But
yeah.
Like you got to go in thinking real simple, real right. simple on those things. And that's it. And then obviously playing strategically. Thoughts as we open this up?
Yeah, 100%. What I want to do before I dig into my stuff, because you know how long I could go. I want to remind everybody, because I actually need a refresher too. It's been a while since we've talked about it. Let's set the scene and give people some context. People, I think, are pretty aware with what I've been working on. I've been documenting it pretty regularly on our Instagram stories. And I love all and appreciate all of your messages, by the way. It's amazing. Every time I post my swing on our story, I get like 20 messages of drill links, what helped them with their inside takeaway.
Yeah.
How to think about it, turning the steering wheel. Like I love it. On the one hand, I'm trying not to consume it. I appreciate it, but I'm trying to get a singular voice with Josh, but I love it. So for people that don't know what you're working on, what have you been drilling in the mirror and why?
A couple things for me this winter. Again, I'm in Chicago, guys. I'm not in LA. I don't have the all year golf season. And I don't even really hit balls that much anymore, like I used to growing up. But what I've been working on, I've been trying to get the club face more square at the top. So that's a little wrist angles. I've been trying to get the feeling of.
And what does that look like? Like the palm kind of facing behind you?
Yeah.
Type of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've been working on that too.
Yeah, I get a little laid off, too open. So I've been trying to get that club face a little more square, a little more upright. But that's a little bit of a feeling in the wrist. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And then in transition, I'm trying to get the feeling of my shoulders stay closed longer. I have a tendency to kind of just get to the top and I just kind of back up a little bit. Like, and when dip. I back up the angle, it's just like you're just falling back. Like the right shoulder just kind of goes back.
Yeah.
And I lose the angle at impact and I have to kind of flip and save it. I mean, this is common things in golf, but I've just been dealing with it for a long time. So I'm working on, that's what I'm working on. So those are three thoughts, wrist angle, you know, in transitional feel, and then all in the effort to just hit solid count. Remember, we had an episode, I don't know, 6 weeks ago about what are, you know, I'm trying to hit it higher. I'm trying to hit it more solid. Oh, everybody's trying to do that. But that's through making some changes. So I've been working on that, working on those feels. I've had a lesson or two over the winter, but
But it's, you know what's interesting?
And you're, I work on that every day.
You're doing what Virgil Herring recommended.
Yeah.
Where you're, by mirror work,
yes,
you're really like hammering home a feel in the mirror. Whereas I was doing the opposite. I was going to the range three hit times balls. A week.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting as our year progresses I hope we both play well.
Right.
I'm sure we will. During some times, I'm sure it's going to be a roller
coaster.
We are
going to.
Yeah, we're going to. But it's so interesting that for you, it is easier in the mirror, I would imagine, to be slower,
yeah,
to really drill a feel, to get some muscle memory kind of in there. Whereas for me, hitting balls, it's very hard to slow down. It's very hard to maybe learn a new motion when I'm going full speed, right? So that's an interesting difference between the two of us.
Yeah, I can't stress it enough how important mirror work. I live in an apartment, you guys live in houses, condos, whatever. Just doing the work at your home when you're watching TV, grip. I mean, constant grip and regrip, because what you have found out, Ev, and like, and I have even, I continue to find this out. It's amazing. Just if you're a little, that if that right hand to that left hand gets going the wrong way, it affects everything. So a lot of regripping and regripping, mirror work. Club face a little more square, a little less open, closed shoulders coming down. And you know, and that's all in the effort to try to just get a little more a club, just a little steeper, a little squarer, and so I can hit it better. But so that's been kind of my grind over the winter.
And for me, obviously, if you're new and you don't know, I was basically, I got a coach, Josh Alpert, number one coach in Southern California. He has been great.
Great coach.
He's basically helped me rebuild everything from the ground up, foundationally, my stance, my posture, my grip. And obviously the takeaway, how I flip it in, my hand basically faces the sky. I roll it.
You roll it inside.
Roll it in. Like,
then you kind
many
of
golfers.
Force it up, come over the top. It's just like many golfers. It's something.
I actually don't bring it over the top. I actually dump it in.
Well, it goes either way. Yeah.
And then I have to flip it, similar to what you were saying, which for me results in crazy misses left and right, even with short irons. Like, I would be losing a ball with an 8 iron and be really uncomfortable over every swing. So,
but with the most fascinating thing you've learned through all this, and Josh is such a great coach, I love watching the videos, love listening to him, is like, your takeaway stinks, but it's because your setup stinks, your grip stinks, your
right
stinks.
It's a cumulative domino effect.
Right. So you have really learned about the fundamentals, invest in the fundamentals, and getting your setup essentially better is creating a better takeaway, as opposed to like, well, I just want to get this thing upright and over my right shoulder. It's like, well, we got to figure out this first.
Right. Right.
And I think that's been so eye opening and
it's
so
been
positive.
Huge to have an education on why I do what I do. Right.
Yeah. It's like anything in life, but especially the golf swing, right?
Yeah. So I've got a confession to make to you, but I'm not going to say it yet. I love that. I love seeing your face when I tell you things like that. If you're on audio,
we let it all out in the train, guys.
If you're on audio, he just gives me kind of an eye roll laugh, just classic. But before I do that, let's dive in.
Yeah.
You've been mirror working all off season. You told me, quote, it's time to go play. It's golf season. So what did you tell yourself going into this round? $100 was on the line with your brothers.
Well, this is what it is. Great. So we played 9 holes last week. And
did you follow what you went in to do? That's the follow-up
question. It's interesting. Well, I was sitting with my brother, Mike, who we've had on the show, Butterfield Invitational champ. He does this little Masters party every year. They go watch the Masters at this course called Tam O'Shanter, and there's a great bar and grill there that we love, the Howard Street Inn. But they don't typically play that day. It's Friday of the Masters. He invites a bunch of buddies we grew up with. And he's like, Matt, you haven't come the last couple of years. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, great, you know. But I'm like, how about we play the morning before and then go watch it, you know, 11, 12 o'clock. He goes, great idea.
Oh, and suggested it.
I suggested we play. So, you know, so he goes, great.
And you didn't have any of the, like, I don't know if I can go get out there and
together. Yeah, no, I was just like, let's go play. Cause his guys we grew up with always come watch it. And so it's me, Mike and Pat, you know, and then our buddies, Michael and Danny and Kevin. And they're like anywhere from like 11 to 20 handicaps.
Yep.
So each of us are going to team up with those guys. That'd be fun. Mike sends a text out to everybody a few days before. All right, $100 a guy. Here are the teams. You know, I'm like, whoa. You know, I was like, might need to get a practice run. I thought we were just having fun.
Yeah.
Like, but that's what I love about Mike. And I love, I mean, it's just work. Let's compete. Let's go. Like,
and what are we talking, like best ball teams or?
Yeah. So you won best ball, two man teams. We actually played a six-some, which was incredible, but it's, awesome. You know, it's 48 degrees and 20 mile per hour winds, you know, and there's no range and the putting green's closed when we get there. You know, right? So just, you know, so
how much stretching did you do?
I thought the putting green was going to be open, and well, stretching and just chipping on the tee box, and you know, the wind's howling out of the west. So, but I'm, you know, you got to really think about these moments. We're sitting there like waiting to tee off, and you're just stretching it. I'm chipping. I'm trying to get contact with the ground, guys. If there's no range, if there's no chipping or putting green, chip on the tee box or next to the tee box, you just feel like you're hitting down. Just hitting down, because it's so easy to hit thin shots on the first couple holes, right? Yeah. When you can't warm up, especially when it's cold. So everything just felt like it was moving fast, trash talking, everybody's fired up, you know. But it's also kind of nerve wracking in the sense I haven't played any golf, and I can't even get to make some swings before. You know how much I love to warm up. Yeah. You like to make fun of me with the warm ups.
Yeah, the guy needs to be warm. Okay, he's had some back issues. Right, he's the guy on the golf trip. That is on the ground, knee in the air.
Getting up early.
Maybe has a Theragun or a Hyper Ice or whatever.
I do have a Theragun now that I'm going to be bringing to Sand Valley when we're out there in August. So, yeah. So, I mean, it was just like, so basically, you know, me, Mike, Pat with our buddies, and like, it's just going to be, let's go. But, you know, I'm on that range and like, you know, I'm a little nervous about where my driver's going to go. But the first hole's got to hit a driver. It's a long par four. The course is pretty short in general. It's a kind of a short nine hole, but
are you thinking this could go anywhere?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm just trying to get a target, just trying to make a aggressive swing, and I just, you know, pull hook it. I pull it.
But what did you, before the round started, what did you commit to? Like, what did you say? Are you not going to focus on your wrist angles at all? Like,
not focusing on wrist angles, not focusing on being close. What my thought was, and it's what Josh has been telling you, because I think about this, bump left, load right. So because I'm cold, I'm stiff,
and that
I'm
basically
rusty.
Means for people that don't know, that means kind of bump your left butt cheek left. So your weight is like 55% on your left, because I used to dump in my right, and then you have all this space to load into your left hip.
Yeah, I like left hip, left butt cheek, same thing. And that creates that little nice little tilt at a setup, which helps promote getting then, you know, into your right hip, into your right side, because
feels nice and athletic, gives you space,
especially when you're rusty, and you haven't warmed up and all these things. So that was my thought. It's just like, find my target, pick your target, and bump left and load right and give it a rip. As it turns out, I hit it pretty far left on the first hole. Made bogey.
Low left, your least favorite shot.
Just kind of high left, you know. But like, I mean, we're talking 15 yards left. And was in the trees, dead. It's tight, Chicago. Even though it's a short course, it's tight.
Yeah.
And I bogeyed the first three holes, and because I hit it left on the first hole, but I needed to hit driver. It's the right call. Second hole is like 290, tight, downwind. I'm thinking, you know what? It's driver again. It's either a driver or a five iron. But I'm like, you know what? Wind's coming out of the right. Let's rip the driver. Pulled it left behind a tree. You know, I was only like, you know, 60 yards from the green, but behind a tree, hook it into the bunker. Don't get up and down. Bogey. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like you expect to be rusty, but it's like, man, you just, you know, you bogey the first hole, fine. It's a 400 yard hole. Second hole is 290. You hit it in the one place you couldn't. I didn't have this was the mental. I was a little caught up in the moment with everybody ripping driver and just like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, that's probably a five iron. You haven't played golf yet this year. You haven't warmed up. That's probably a five iron and a wedge. Didn't do it though. Total mental error. And then the third hole, this is great. The trees are left, open right. Another short par four, 300 yards, kind of downwind. I'm like, you got to miss this right into the rough, because I don't know where it's going with the driver. It's a driver, miss it right. And I did. Kind of just pushed it out right, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had a 70-yard pitch over over a bunker, tight pin. I think I got a bad yardage. Hit it to like 60 feet long, three putted. And we're just getting hammered early. Cause so like, and my partner's struggling. We go bogey, bogey, bogey to start.
Oh, for the team.
Yeah. So Danny, you know, Danny,
well, I guess,
a,
yeah, he's an 12 11. Handicap, yeah.
And you know, he's good. He can play, but he was struggling. We're like, so we just get off to this awful start.
Yeah. It's funny when you're talking, it's
on
like
a couple of short holes
starting too. With bogeys doesn't sound that bad for a nine.
Yeah.
Like me that, you know, is, yeah, or Danny was an 11.
Yeah.
Right. But when you're the scratch,
he's expecting,
and I'm in a
me,
team, you're the par guy.
He's
least.
Expecting, yeah, me to get a par, especially,
right,
on these.
You're
short
saving
holes.
Him. You're supposed to be the safety blanket, essentially.
So it was kind of one of those. It was one of those funny starts, which kind of expected. But Mike and Pat are making pars, you know, and or at least a couple. Yeah, and I'm bogeying, and it's like I made one mental error, then I made a miss at the right spot, and then I three putt. It's kind of like it all went wrong in the first couple of holes, and we're behind. But it's funny how golf is. Fourth hole, okay, another short par four, and it's kind of what this course is. You play, it's not a Muni, but it's like another 290 yard hole, really tight. Downwind, I hit a 3-wood. I pull it.
Like just tree lined or
have? Yeah, just very tree lined. This has got water over the green. So
okay,
don't hit driver because if you hit it too good, but just really tree lined. I'm like hitting 3-wood, rip it, but rocket balls, by the way, which I love.
Yeah.
And I just, but I pull it and the wind, a little, and the wind gets it. And the tree and the trees are all left. I'm like, Jesus. But I get up there and the ball kind of skipped out, ran out, and I've got a clear kind of pitch on the green, which was a nice break. It's like, all right, cool. All right, I got a little break here, you know. But then I hit an okay pitch to about 35 feet. It was over the bunker, it was uphill. I didn't want to go long. But what do? Make the putt. Birdie.
30 footer?
Yeah. 30, yeah. Slider. Golf's funny, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, those first four holes were just, you know, a little bit.
Did you
of
feel less
a
frustrated
bit,
after that pick? But after that pick, were you like, okay, I guess that's what I have? Like,
well,
you weren't,
the pitch
getting
wasn't
down
that
about
great,
the pitch?
But I was like, man, I've got a putt for birdie.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, sometimes the golf gods reward us if we stay kind of neutral.
Yeah.
You know, you've had a poor start. This is your first round back. Maybe you take a second to be like, this is golf. You know, it's good to be back. And
yeah,
those are kind of the moments you get rewarded. I think karma, I think, is real.
100%. And it's tough because that 3-wood, I hit it so good, but I pulled it just a touch and then the wind got it. And I'm like, oh man, but it's like, you got to find the good. And I was like, man, well, at least I made a pretty good swing there. But I thought, man, I'm going to be in trouble again, but I wasn't so much in trouble. Mm-hmm. And then I hit an okay shot. Then I made a great putt the rest of the round. So I made that putt, but I continued to hit it left pretty much all day for the rest of, there was a couple part, I hit a couple good shots in the par threes. I get to the seventh hole. I pull it left off the tee with the driver again.
Which is your least favorite miss, by the way.
I'm behind a tree. You'll like this. I'm behind a tree and I don't know, but I'm like 100 yards from the green, 120. I have to hit this like screaming little grounder hook around two trees. It's actually pretty good, to about 30 yards. I pitch it in. So I get this pitch. Yeah. Everybody's just laughing in this pitch. And the toughest green on the course, it's kind of a back pin and a huge right to left swell. And I just hit this beautiful pitch. And it's just going, just keeps sliding in there, sliding there. So, you know, two funny birdies I had. And I ended up shooting one over, but Mike shot one under and Pat shot two under. Pat made a great flop shot in the last hole to win, actually. But, it was just one of those days. So we didn't win the money, but I was not thinking about mechanics besides just, you know, bumping that left hip, that left, and just trying to load right. And I didn't do it very well, but I did hit some other good shots and I putted really well for the putts I had. Made a lot of good rolls, had a couple of birdie chances that were real close, but I made one and I chipped in one. And I just kind of accepted, like, this is just going to be kind of a tougher day for me. Mike and Pat had a few rounds.
That seems to be a big theme for you.
Yeah, I was just like this. Now, did I want it to be as tough? It's funny. I hit one fairway in nine holes, and it was the eighth hole. It's like a 340-yard hole, trouble right, a little trouble left. I'm like, I'm not hitting driver. I just pulled out a 3-wood and ripped it and just.
I think you'd be pretty
happy. It was a nice feeling. Yeah,
in
I mean, it was
most cases,
fine.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know. It was just, I thought I could be maybe a little better off the tee, but I knew it was just going to be tough. And what is working on my thinking about mechanic? Where is that going to get me?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to play golf on a 48 degree day and 20 mile per hour winds thinking about wrist angles, which a lot of times we get in this trap,
right,
or thinking about closing my shoulders, you know, in transition. I mean, can you imagine?
No.
And I'm telling you, I was already struggling, which off the tee.
Right.
God knows.
Now, let me ask you this.
God knows where I would have hit it.
Let me ask you this.
I had no club face control to begin with.
Did it come up?
What do you mean?
When you kept missing it left, did you have the I was urge
a little
to do
bit.
The thing you've been working on?
No. Well, I thought about it, well, but I did get a little, I was thinking a little in my head in between a shot or two, like, I mean, maybe just got to get some sort of feeling to just stay back because I am just rushing that transition.
Mm-hmm.
That transition is just crazy fast and crazy over the top and tension. But so the tempo thing kind of comes in, but I was just like, just get comfortable with your target, nowhere to miss it. It's just not going to be your damn fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, and I got smart on the eighth hole. I hit a 3-wood instead of a driver and just said, I need a confident. I need to give myself a chance here. And I did. And I had a birdie chance. Didn't make it, but it's a funny thing, right? But I think it's important, Ev, and you're going to dive in here a little bit. It's just like, this is how it's got to be. Guys, we cannot be going to the golf course. We've all been in this trap, myself included, of just, you cannot force positions on the golf course and expect to play good. And to get yourself out of that mindset, play for something. Play for money. Play for a tournament. Play for an event. Have purpose when you play, because whatever you got to do to trick yourself, to motivate yourself, to think clear, and to be strategic and play for low score, you find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes that's what it takes.
All right, the train is slowing down. We're going to make a quick stop. Don't worry. We'll get it right back on track in a second. But first, we have hit springtime. And springtime is arguably the best time of the year. Don't tell that to my allergies. I think this is the best time of year because it's really when golf season starts for most of the world. The Azalea collection is back for Roback Activewear, my favorite collection in apparel. They've got a bunch of new designs. They've got spring polo designs. They've got spring colors. They've got the Azalea print, the polo that got me 10,854 compliments when I went to the Masters a couple years ago. I ran into like 10 other people wearing it, and it was like this secret society. We were pounding fists. It was awesome. So go to roback.com, tap the link in our show notes, or go to our Instagram at the Par Train, and that 15% will auto apply in your cart. If it doesn't work, it means you've used it before. So get creative, do whatever you have to do, create a new email, whatever. Didn't hear it from us. It's springtime. You deserve some new golf get up for the season. Look good, feel good, baby. So tap the link in our show notes or in our bio at the Par Train on Instagram is probably the best place to do it. And tap the Roback link. It'll auto apply in your cart, 15% off. Happy spring, everybody. Hope you guys get some new gear. All right, let's get back to the show. We should also call this out. Someone will know that you're a scratch player and be like, oh, he shot one over. That seems pretty standard. But it probably would have been pretty easy for you. The year that, keep me honest, you've been grooving more swing stuff this winter than for as long as I've known you.
For sure.
It would have been real easy.
Yeah. I want to play some tournaments this year and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it would have been real easy for you to go into this first round and say, I want to put this to the test. I need to get reps with this new feel, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, I remember we've talked about over the years ago, it almost feels like you're letting yourself down to not take it to the course. I think it's easy to think that, well, I'm going to revert back.
Yep.
Right? I'm reverting back. Like
100%.
That's not the point. I need to go, but I don't think that that's true. I think you're always going to revert to what you've always done in moments where there's pressure or at fuller speed or you get nervous. That doesn't exist in the mirror or on the driving range. So of course it's going to be different. But I think what you're saying is you were grooving something. The reason you groove it is so that it naturally shows up more and more, but you're not going to focus on it. And
correct.
I think you would probably agree.
Not that I didn't have a thought, but I was just trying to simplify the thought.
But if you went to the course and tried to feel more square at the top, I don't think you would have shot one over.
No.
Absolutely. And it might have been more frustrating.
And think about all the good things but I did. I was a magician out of the trees. I made a 35 footer. I chipped in from 30 foot. I pitched in from 30 yards.
Yeah.
But if I'll tell you, but these side effects, the domino effect that is so negative out there. If I'm trying to force what I'm working on and it's not going well, it's going to be more in my head to that second shot. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have been as clear on those little hooks out of the trees or those pitches. I'm telling you, it's just not how it works. You get so you get so caught up in what you're doing, it just spills over to your next shots.
Yeah, you didn't panic.
No.
You didn't say it would have been real easy also. Besides this, take the swing work out of it. As someone who hates missing it left, as much as I hate leaving it wide open,
it's the devil.
Hitting it right. It would have been real easy for you to try and reinvent and try and fix it. But as we've heard from many pros, this is not the time. I don't have time to fix it. I'm playing golf. So you went back to the thing that helps you play. Now, on this note, I want to share my aha moment. I just did a video on this in Instagram today. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's very...
I saw the previews. I don't know if I've seen the actual footage yet. But
yeah, it's in line with everything you just said. It validates it a bit. But I just had an aha moment. I kind of understood. Well, first I'll say this. When we've heard people say, we've said it before, we've heard coaches, players say it, to not get upset after a bad shot. I was talking to Josh about this yesterday, and it really was a light bulb moment for me. It is virtually impossible to not get upset after a bad shot if you have no idea why you hit the bad shot and you have no idea what to go back to. If you don't know what you do well and what helps you, and you don't know what you did on a poor swing, it is virtually impossible to not get upset, regardless if it's helpful or not, because you immediately default to problem solver, fix it mode, frustration, feeling helpless. Now, what I learned in this playing lesson is the opposite of that becomes very easy when you understand what you do, when you understand what helps you hit good ones, and when you know what happens in the bad ones. It was actually exciting to leave one outright, look back to Josh and say, oh, I held on. I knew I held on.
100%.
And it went right.
Okay.
How great is that? Right? Next hole.
Creating some predictable moments.
Hole. I hooked a 3-wood low and left. And I go, oh, I swung too hard. I got quick. I'm trying to go 55 at the speed limit.
That's something you're really working on.
Right? Really, I overswing. I'm really working on playing with rhythm and driving the speed limit with my swing. And then I hit a 9-iron over the green, a little long and left, but I did exactly what I was trying to do. So the thing that I've learned about what I need to do is when I get armsy through the ball, that's when I try and I dip and I flip. But if I just hold my swing at 3/4, and I turn through with my body at good rhythm, I have a baby draw every time. And it's a real great key for me. Using my body as my engine through the ball has been a great way to maintain and drive under the speed limit for my swing. So when I hit it long and left, you could say, oh, damn, you hit it long and left. That's not the place you're supposed to hit it, and get pissed. I was actually pumped because I did exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I did, but I didn't. I swung a little bit too hard. I got excited, right? So my post shot was there. I knew exactly what I did. I hit it solid, and I knew I was a fraction away from hitting a really good shot. And that's how I started playing golf. And I was like, this is how Scottie Scheffler can play golf and shrug off a miss, because he knows what he did. If he doesn't know what he did, he knows what to go back to. He knows what his keys are.
It's really good, Ev. What did he do on 11 at the Masters on Sunday? he missed it right. And from the middle of the fairway.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was a left hole location off the water and he's a cutter. And he said to himself, this is a really hard shot for me. If I make a great swing, it's going to be 30 feet. If I bail out, it's going right.
Yeah. Win-win.
Went right. He knows what he did.
Win-win. So I guess the light bulb is you can't just blindly say, I'm not going to get mad after a bad shot. Now, there is part of this of like, yes, we don't practice very often. Yes, we're not good enough to care. But it is so much easier if someone out there is listening and they get pissed. The best, the easiest way to not get pissed and to take things in stride is to get an education on what did you do on the swings that you got great results? What is your, like, if yours is bump left, load right, right?
I mean, I don't know if it was really working for me, but it was simple and easy, and it's a good thought.
You know? Right. But you, I think in the past, it's kind of been like stay in your posture, right? Yeah. Like the thing, whether it's rhythm, tempo, stay in your posture, something that you know, if I can just do this, I'll be okay. That's how you play golf in pressure moments when you're not feeling ready. I didn't feel ready. I went to the golf course with a camera crew on Wednesday.
Which has been challenging. Look, and something you've admitted that's been challenging for you.
Yes. And I was with Josh, my coach. We had never been on the golf course together. We had only done it in a studio with a track man. And I woke up and I shanked the first four balls in the range.
Guy loves a few shanks on the range.
And I started laughing and Josh pulled up and I go, yeah, it must be that I'm just getting warm.
Hey, at least you got the hit balls before. I didn't even get the hit balls.
Yeah, totally. But then I just realized
nobody likes to see shanks, but no. Hey, but you've also made great progress in overcoming. It's just the range.
Just the range. There's no correlation. But then I reminded myself,
just the range. So just warming up.
The human response there is, oh God, I'm going to have two camera guys I've never met
again.
They're showing up and I'm going to be shanking it all day. That's not going to make for a very good video, right? Even though the shots wasn't about it, it was more about walking and talking and me as a person.
Doesn't matter.
But still, that was there. Yeah. That was the reality, right? But what helped me, I knew that as long as I drove my swing at the speed limit, and I turned through with my body instead of trying to get flippy and whippy and hold off and close it down with my hands, that I'm going to be okay. And I did that all day. And I didn't quite hit it necessarily as good as my 80 at Lakeside Country Club, but I was more excited after this nine than my 80 because I started to see the connection between what am I trying to do. Did I do it? Yes or no? So that was becoming easier to tell. And I saw that my misses followed what I know I do in those scenarios.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
It didn't have any anxiety. It actually made me feel even more confident, even after a miss, because I knew what happened.
Well, I think it's great, Evan. It's a light bulb. It's a breakthrough. We're talking about the breakthrough series. You made me think of something. My golf coach, John Reese, we need to have on the pod, by the way, he's coming out with a book. When we grew up, he used to say, don't get mad, get even. And I think that term is said in life too but what he meant by was like, you hit that bad shot. Like most of the time there was a mental breakdown. You didn't trust the club. You didn't like the target. You were scared of the trouble. Your mind was just not in a good place. You might get mad, but you're going to get even. I'm going to focus. I want to lock back in. And I think that's so important, right? Like, you got to get, because it's easy to get down. There's mad, there's down, there's
frustrated.
But it's like what you're saying is like, well, now I'm in a place with Josh where I really understand my tendencies, my golf swing, my fundamentals. And I'm seeing why I hit bad shots. I get too excited, you know?
Yeah.
There's, you know, trouble right, you know? Okay. Get even. Lock in. What am I going to do the next shot? I'm going to get more confident, more comfortable. I'm going to make that really good swing. So
yeah,
really good stuff, Fav. I mean, And again, so I think what's so fascinating about this discussion tonight is you've got this member guest coming up. You've got Bannon Dunes, whatever. We don't want to, pressure is just a story we tell ourselves, but
right.
Again, there's pressure. And it's okay to feel like I felt this in a member guest. Am I actually going to be good enough? It's okay to feel that way. Like, am I actually good enough? Like, yeah, I make a lot of pars. I don't make a lot of birdies. Am I going to be a good enough partner? Like, And for you, it's like, it's okay to feel that way. But what you have, but I think what the key is here is just, I'm not going into this thinking about how good my takeaway is. I'm thinking about, and jump in. I am thinking about a really simple fundamental thought, feel. And when I hit a bad shot, which I'm going to do, you're going to do, Scotty Scheffler's going to do, I understand what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to do my best to be better on the next shot.
Right. So,
and I'm not going to be forcing feels and takeaways and wrist angles and me too. Right.
Yeah.
Because you can't play golf that way.
All right. The train's going to make a quick stop. Don't panic. We'll get it moving in a second. But first, I wanted to ask you guys, have you been really focused on getting off that struggle bus? Are you trying to play the best golf of your life in 2024? I feel you. I'm on that same journey. I want us to go on it together and keep moving towards our best golf of our life this year. Best way to do it, do us a solid. Hop over to our YouTube channel. Actually, you can watch all of these podcasts in video form on our YouTube channel. My lessons are there every week, as well as all the other videos we're making to help you enjoy the ride on and off the course. So do us a solid. It would mean the world. If you like the podcast, you'll love the YouTube. Go to youtube.com/@thepartrain. Hop aboard the channel and subscribe. It'll mean the world. And let's all get playing our best golf in 2024. Thanks, guys. Let's get this show back on track. So here's my confession to you. Here we go.
Here we go.
Serm texts me. It might have been after I posted another story of my swing. Maybe it was a DM. Who knows?
No, it was the YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. And you're like,
I watched the whole thing, 14 minutes.
Yeah. And you go,
it was a lesson with Josh.
It's time to play. The season is starting. Enough's enough. And I remember when you told me that, I was like, yeah, but I don't know if he gets.
You're talking about the Instagram story. I thought you were talking about the recent.
I think it was the reason you were saying it.
This was a couple weeks ago. You've worked on enough stuff. Yeah, this was your story. Yeah,
time to go play. And yeah. I remember thinking, but do you understand that? Yes, I've been taking lessons, but I don't think I've reached the aha moment yet where it's coming together. And I want to help people understand kind of what's happened through this progress. I've taken maybe 7 lessons in the last 3 to 4 months. Okay.
Which is most, and that's a lot of lessons.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And Josh and I were talking and he's like, look, your grip is 10 times better. Your setup and stance is 10 times better.
Love that.
you're learning to.
You're just your maybe, overall posture. You tilt better now.
Yeah.
At the ball, your head is up naturally. But seriously, like
yeah.
you look now, you used to kind of just be really kind of weak and all the weight on the heels and like just kind of standing there. You look like athletic and braced.
Yeah.
Complimenting you.
Yeah. Okay? Thank you. So I'm speaking to any person who's really struggled right now or has gotten lessons and like, why aren't I seeing the results? So despite all of that, I'm still going from a huge hook with like a 9-iron. I'm talking like a 60-yard, 50-yard hook to like a total block borderline hosel. And so when this is happening, you're thinking, well, I'm doing all this good work. Like, what's going on here? Why is this still happening? Right? Like, I know I'm not going to eliminate a two-way miss. We all miss two ways. Even yeah. The pros do, but the hole enders, the round ruiners, the losing 6 balls around thing. That's what I'm really trying to, you know, decrease. And so Josh was like, so here's what's happening. You're doing all of this great stuff. And yes, your takeaway isn't as bad as it was, but you have such this ingrained move that you've always done that no matter how good your grip is, no matter how much we fixed your stance, no matter how much we fixed your weight and your weight distribution, you roll it and it dumps. And people have DM'd me, well, but is that really like, is it killing you or is it just inside? But here's why it was killing me. Because when I roll it open and it's that inside and I'm coming like this and then I go over and then I dump it, the way Josh described it is so good. He goes, you can play that way, but if you don't have great rhythm, or I realized my confidence used to make up for that because I was really good at closing it down and manipulating it at the bottom. And because I swung so hard, I was able to close that gap. But because I was feeling tentative and trying to protect against those misses, my room for error, my margin of error is so small to be able to have consistency that if I'm a little off, I'm going to see some pretty crazy misses. And then when you see those pretty crazy misses, it's really easy to protect and try and prevent against them. So he was like, if we can get you to be a little bit like, we started to try and reverse pattern. So instead of rolling it, he would have me feeling like I'm DJ and kind of bringing it up outside three quarter and then almost swinging to the left. Like that's the stuff I was working on, right?
Sounds painful.
To try and reverse that feel and understand, because to me, feeling over the top actually is more on plane. That's how crazy the feel has been. So the reason I talk through this is because when you told me that, I was like, yeah, but if I'm taking all these lessons and I haven't mitigated the issue and we're still trying to find the right mix of stuff, I know it's the season, but like, I got to keep going. But I think what you were saying, there's wheels. Like this is the first time wheels has been on the park train. Luckily, I just saw the dog go around the corner.
She's not barking. She's out of bounds.
I think what you were saying is don't stop working on things.
Correct.
But you can't go to the golf course trying to fix it.
That's it. That's it.
That's what you're saying.
You are going to work on this for maybe the rest of your golfing life.
Right.
Because you don't have the great takeaway.
Right.
I don't have the great backswing. Okay. But where I failed in the past is just trying to fix my backswing on the golf course and thinking that's going to get me somewhere.
Right.
It's not.
So that's what this episode's about is you can't fix it in the round. You got to ask the play, what are you going to go with? And I think the reason why I had the anxiety before of, oh man, I've got banned in. Like that's, I don't know about anyone else, but when I'm struggling at the range, my brain immediately goes, you got to get this figured out before X. You got to get it. You got to have something before Y. And I think that panic, that problem solving, that fixing mode comes when you don't really know what you do.
That's a good point.
And you
That's
don't really know what helps you do what you do.
Yeah.
So now that I discovered this on my own, actually, I learned that what helps me do what Josh is trying to get me to do is moving with my body.
Right.
And having passive arms. Yeah. And as long as I'm have good, you know, three quarter and it's square at the top, no matter how I got there, if I turn through, I'm going to have a little draw.
Yeah. No.
And that's a big game changer for me.
100%. This is a breakthrough. This is going to be huge for you in these rounds and the rest of the season. Like I was saying on the third hole last week, I just hit two hard pulls to the left off the tee. And I get to this next hole, and I'm like, well, good chances. I'm swinging too hard. Too much transition is too quick.
Yeah.
I'm not confident. I'm like, okay, I got to miss it right here. I don't feel good about hitting the fairway with the driver. I just don't. So what do I got to do? I got to slow this thing down.
There you go.
Right. Cause typically when you hit
it's
it
not,
right,
how can I fix
hit it
left.
Right, you're a little too slow and passive and guidey. And when you hit it left, you're too hard and too fast.
Yeah.
So what, and I actually, I did it and I pushed it right. But that's how you got to think when you're on the golf course, like, okay, I don't feel great today. I'm a little challenged, whether it's off the tee or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm hitting it left, but on this hole, I got to play this hole. Like this is a game. It's an obstacle course.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do everything I can to get this ball right. So I can have a clear shot to the green, even from the rough. So I can at least try to get a putt for birdie or par.
Right.
You know what I mean? So but I think you're seeing that now, like, because you're knowing your tendencies. Like, I actually know how, I know how to hit it right. I know why it goes left. I know. And sometimes you just, you got to just say, I got to miss it here. Cause I don't know if I can hit it in the fairway right now.
Right. Well, what you did.
Yeah.
I want to clarify what you did. You could have gotten wrist angly and tried to keep your shoulders more closed. Square. You've been closed. You've been working on it. And you could have been like, oh, well, I need to get back to the thing I've been working on. That's what's going to help me not hit it left.
Right.
But instead, you acknowledge old tendencies by being aware of what happened when you hit it left in the past. And you're right. I think this applies to most people. Like, if you're missing it left, you're usually pretty quick. You're not letting the transition 100%. Happen. You're swinging too hard. So that is a great way to adjust. You're not trying to reinvent anything. You're acknowledging what's happening and you're adjusting to what helps you hit it more on your line. And that's slowing down. That's not positional.
Right. No.
And that's how you play.
It goes back to rhythm, which you were talking about. That's how you play.
So someone's listening to this.
How you manage your game, because it changes every round.
Right. But the stuff that helps you is constant, right? It might feel weird one day to the next, but for someone that gets invited to go play and they're mid swing change or they're playing really poorly and it might feel like I'm not quite ready. I don't know. I'm thinking about turning this round down. Trust me, I've done it. I think the key is knowing what you do and knowing what happens on shots that you don't.
Right.
And then your job is to go back and try and do the thing that you do. So for me, I feel like I'm swinging 3/4.
Yep.
At the speed limit.
Yep.
I'm not trying to go faster. I know that if I try and drive my swing, i.e. the car, over the speed limit, my wheels will fall off. The car will break down.
Wheels.
There you go. My job is to drive the speed limit and turn through with my chest.
So it's great, Ev. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go do it. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you,
and by the way,
challenge is going to be, you have a couple bad holes in a row. The plan's not changing.
Yeah. And by the way, I should make this very clear. Most of my swings on camera, even though I had this process, I was very uncomfortable because I hadn't done it. But guess what? I missed shots and hit it on the green.
It went well.
For the first time in a long time, I missed shots. I mishit shots and it went on the green. And the reason I could do that is because I had something to fall back on. And
I can't wait to see some of the clips because I'm sure like the footage is just much more free. And we miss hit it all the time.
I know that's what
it's
it
just
is.
Managing the miss.
Right. But I didn't know how to manage the miss before because I was trying to reinvent.
Yeah.
I was getting positional.
Yep.
Which made it worse.
Yep. So we're always going to be working on something. That's just how golf works. It's just, there's time for that. And then there's time to work on the range and there's time to play. And it's just it's a different thing.
And I used to hear that, but I didn't used to believe it.
But you're starting to get it now.
Yeah. I used to think, no, but I can. Right. Clearly that's not true.
Right. I'm going to take this thought today. You did a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this thought today.
New thought every week, new feel every week.
We all get in these traps.
Yeah.
This is normal. This is the hardest game in the world.
Yeah.
But I used to get in those traps, but you're starting to see like what actually kind of works and what doesn't.
And then think about like, that's me with no reps, really uncomfortable. Imagine what happens once I start getting reps doing the right thing, not changing things, having more confidence. I'll tell you this, sir. This was a really cool moment. I was in the middle of the fairway on this par 5 with Josh. I was standing over the ball and I haven't had this feeling on a golf course in a very long time. It was an automatic thought. I didn't even consciously try and think it. I was being filmed and I was like, I know exactly what to do. And I just felt grateful. I literally thought to myself, I'm so grateful to be here. Like,
yeah,
there is a camera crew here, like highlighting me.
How good is my life, right?
Yeah. It was a Wednesday. I'm on the golf course. There's a camera crew highlighting my life. And I was like, this is so cool. And then guess what I did? I hit the 4-iron on the green on the par 5. Iron.
Hit it in two.
Yeah. And I didn't even hit it that good.
Well, yeah, that's golf.
Which is, but well, that, missed... but that had never, that hadn't happened to me in a while. Right. Also, like my bad misses were off the course.
Well, you're totally capable of that because you're a good player, but now you're getting it. Like, well, 4-iron is a very hard club to hit from what, 220 or whatever you were. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was a bunker in front of the green.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. That's how typically the par 5 works, right? It's a really hard shot to hit it solid.
Yeah.
But I'm making a good, confident, aggressive swing and I'm not thinking about where my positions are. Boy, I can sure surprise myself.
Yeah. And maybe
let's end on this.
Yeah, thank you. Let's end on this too, because one thing I've really learned by investing in a coach and really, you know, I do, obviously I want to get better. Obviously I want my handicap to drop. I want to shoot some good scores. I want to start to ball strike the ball better, right? But I think what's been really cool about this process is the education and the cumulative effect of, I'm starting to see how good golfers put it together. I'm starting to see how golf is played in a way that I haven't before. I've played good golf, but it was kind of the flavor of the week. You know, sure. I kind of found something, then it stopped working. I looked for something else. Like, this is actually like, no.
Feels constant.
I know what my tendencies are, and all I have to do is this. And I'm really excited to build reps and start to really build on that. I'm sure things will happen. I'm sure it'll still go up and down. I'll still make tweaks, but at least I know the direction. And I just want to encourage anyone listening that, look, it's a process, okay? But I've now seen that if you can understand those basic things, you start to like, I've only had one round like this. Confidence is not that far away.
Sure.
It's
always right around the corner.
It's right around the corner.
Could be on the next T-Max.
I'm excited. I'm excited to play golf again. Well, I haven't been excited to play golf in a very long time because it's been such a crapshoot. You never know what's going to show up. And Josh made me realize, he goes, it's not because you're bad. It's because you have a pattern that when you're not swinging perfect rhythm or really confidently, your margin of error is very, very small. The position I'm moving in, my margin of error is much bigger.
Yeah.
Which Parker McLaughlin's talked a lot about in his whole short game mentality. We're kind of doing that in my full swing too. And by the way, Josh taught me what I was doing wrong in my chipping.
Good.
And I'm very excited about my ability to hit bump and runs with very short swings. Yeah, I didn't realize that you could change your grip of like a strong grip showing two knuckles with chipping.
Oh, sure.
Like I used to think that was overthinking. That was a bad move. Only really good players do that. But then he's like, no, if you have a weak grip with your chipping, the palm of your hand can face your target.
Yeah.
And it's really easy and consistent to hit a pitching wedge or a 7-iron and let it run out. And I was like, wow, that is so easy.
Matt Fitzpatrick chips crosshand. You can have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. But that was another example of like, the reason I take big swings with my pitching and chipping was because of my strong grip.
Yeah.
And I needed to kind of come over the top and kind of hit these like.
It's the domino effect. It's the
domino effect.
It's the beauty of coaching.
Yeah.
Right. But so you have that clarity, which is great. Now for you, what I push you to do is just, your next round, your tournament, whatever they are, you just go and you have this
laser focus
plan, not positional.
Yeah.
I'm playing golf.
Yep.
Playing the golf course.
I'm driving the speed limit.
I am who I am today. Take
cars can pass me. Let them go ahead. But this is what works for me. It's like the story I told him.
That takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah, it does. I told Josh the story about how, and then I'll end it here. how Tara and I rented a Suburban to drive up to Santa Cruz for our wedding, and the transmission overheated, and every rental car stop from LA to Santa Cruz did not have a big car. So we had to drive 45 miles an hour, turned a 5-hour drive into an 8-hour drive or whatever it was. And we knew that that was going to get us to Santa Cruz faster than trying to go 70. Because if I tried to go 70, that car could have broken down, right, and we'd be fucked. Same thing kind of goes with my golf swing.
You like 55 instead of 45, but same idea.
Same idea.
But like, again, it's what I was saying about my round. Like, yeah, you know, those guys are beating me today and they look better. And like, well, what am I going to do? Try to be them? What am I going to try to rip it even harder? No. Same for you.
Right.
Stay in your lane.
Yep.
Like, is the right lane for you. But okay, you know how to get it done. You're talented. You've shot in good scores. You can play good golf. You're making the progress. You just got to believe in it and do it. Really push yourself to do it.
Yeah.
No exceptions. So, I mean, hey, Ev, are you ready to play? Are you ready to play?
It's time to play. The season's here. Let's go play. We're still going to grind, but let's go play.
We always grind. Got the range.
Always.
We got the course. We go play.
This is a big year for both of us. You're getting back in tournaments. I'm getting my game back on track.
You got tournaments coming up.
I'm coming to tournaments too. Let's do this.
Yeah. Get excited. Sounds like you are.
Well, this was great. I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as we did. If you like the pod, hop aboard, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, hop aboard the YouTube channel where all my lessons are that Serm watched at the Par Train. No matter how many new positions you're working on, no matter how bad the swing feels, no matter how lost you might feel, what do they got to do, Serm?
Find something to lean on and enjoy the ride.
Love it. Enjoy the ride, guys. Thanks for hopping aboard, guys. Before you hop off the train, I think I got something you're going to love. Our new YouTube channel is growing fast. It's something I'm putting a lot of focus and time and my heart into. So if you guys like the podcast, our YouTube is going to come out with the video podcast of the audio version every Monday on our YouTube channel, as well as more and more videos to help you enjoy the ride and keep your game on track. So go to youtube.com/@thepartrain or just search the Par Train on the YouTubes, and hopefully we can keep riding this train together. Thanks again for hopping aboard. Hope you guys enjoy the ride.